Morning, Apes. Hope everybody is killing it as usual here today, and hope everybody woke up feeling well, had their morning jewel rips, their morning coffee, and most of all, that morning, we don't have to talk about what goes on in the bathroom. But it is approximately 8:25 a.m. here on this beautiful March 7th, 2024. It is Thursday here, everybody, so you know we're coming at you with all the market moves of yesterday. Get you nice and ready before the 9:30 open here this morning. Everybody knows this is easily the most important, most impactful, and most insightful financial podcast / video series on the internet right now. So thank you for joining in with us. Congratulations, you are on the ground floor. We can't wait until we see where we go with you guys. We got a lot to talk about here today, but it probably is going to be a little bit shorter so you guys can hear me yap a little bit less here this morning. Now, we got a lot to talk about because there is some important stuff going on here this week. Nothing more important than the man himself, Mr. Jerome Powell, taking a trip on down to Capitol Hill to go and get absolutely roasted essentially for 2 days by the House Financial Services Committee. We'll see what's going on in that department. And of course, we got the major stock movers of the day for you. CrowdStrike absolutely killing it on earnings. And then we're going to bully some other stocks as well. So definitely stay tuned for our outlook on a lot of the stocks that we cover, as well as our overall view of the cybersecurity market going forward. Then most of all, stay tuned for our view on what Morgan Stanley is saying. We actually got a report yesterday. It was, it was produced by my girlfriend's cat that said they're projecting a 50% increase in catnip sales this year. So, oh, wait a minute, my bad. No, it's actually Morgan Stanley's predicting a 50% increase in M&A activity this year. Basically the exact same thing. I just kind of mixed up my words right there. But we'll be talking about it all, so make sure you stay tuned with us. We can let you know exactly what's going to be going on towards the end of this year in the IPO, M&A, and other transaction activities market. Before we do that, let's go ahead and take a look at the market snapshot. Now, holding ourselves accountable, letting you guys know how much we are underperforming by. It's actually not even that much here today because the alpha portfolio absolutely dominated yesterday. Like I said, the allocation to some cybersecurity names, as well as, of course, our Bitcoin allocation is a huge help on days like yesterday as well. Because what we saw yesterday was the S&P rise about 51 basis points, the NASDAQ up 58 basis points. Respectable. They're trying their best. You know, we'll cut them some slack for that. But Bitcoin rose about 3.82% and Ethereum ripped more than I knew was possible, but it flew 6.54% on the day yesterday. And taking that all in, we saw a 79 basis point rise from WSO Alpha. That means we are still underperforming the S&P 500, but not by much at all. We are at about 7.6% year to date, the S&P at 7.63. The NASDAQ just dominating, humiliating us with an 8.57% return. It's kind of like LeBron James dunking in your face, to be quite honest here. But, you know, we're Bronny Jr. We're coming up right now. We might not even get drafted, but hey, we got all the potential in the world. And isn't that what it's all about anyway? All right, but let's go ahead and move down into some banana bits of the day here. So first and foremost, I did want to give you guys an update for Mr. Jerome Powell. He, of course, came in and was spinning some game on Capitol Hill yesterday. We spent a lot of time talking about the takeaways and what this means kind of longer term. We're CNBC, you know, because they have to basically take up some amount of space on the internet every day or, you know, attract their clickbaity bullshit. This is exactly what they did yesterday. They dive into some of Jerome Powell's quotes. It's some of the best Fed speak that you could ever see. Really risen up everybody on the House Financial Services Committee. Although, you know, it didn't last very long. He was getting absolutely hammered, and not in the good way, by a whole lot of those senators there. Now, moving on down below, we're seeing some interesting activity in New York Community Bank stock. Shares have been getting absolutely destroyed. Yesterday, it ripped because of this weird little announcement. So it turns out the firm is actually going to receive an additional $1 billion in funding from a group of investors. And this is led by the former Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, or Mnuchin, whatever the fuck it actually is. I didn't realize that this was entirely legal. I'm sure there's some huge conflict of interest there because we know anytime politicians or former politicians do anything with their money, it has to be insider trading. It is a conflict of interest. Just look at Nancy Pelosi's recent NVIDIA trades. Tell me that isn't the easiest law to pass in the entire world, but obviously we're not going to do it because that would mean senators are voting to make themselves poorer. And these are some of the most selfish, you know, thoughtless people in the entire world. And I am saying that completely seriously without a joke in a single part of that. That's exactly what we're seeing right there. So no surprise to see that that's possible. But hey, it's America. It's the land of the free, and we can do whatever the hell we want here. Moving on down below, value investors, it's time to rejoice. It's your kind of a market right now. We are seeing the value discount to the overall market into growth stocks especially is reaching new lows. It's reaching lows that it previously reached at about the time of the previous market peak around November of 2021. So that's always great to see. It's your time to shine, guys. It's the stock picker's market. Let us know what you're picking and what you can do. All right, and then interest rate payments. You know, speaking of stock picker's market, if I could have invested in interest rate payments, that would have been the investment of the century, probably outperforming NVIDIA and even Abercrombie and Fitch, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We're seeing those moon both in absolute terms and relative to overall household balance sheet. So if you're looking for some kind of a, like the piece of the Jenga tower to pull out that could kind of unravel the whole thing, that could definitely be a starting point. We're going to be talking about that much more in-depthly tomorrow. We'll also be talking more about J-PAL. But before we talk about how we're going to talk about J-PAL tomorrow, let's talk about J-PAL today and see exactly what's going on with him. So the chairman of the Federal Reserve, he stood up there on the House Financial Services Committee and he was throwing treats to the absolute dogs that we are all over Wall Street. And by the way, that's D-O-G-S, not D-A-W-G-S, like you and all your friends call yourselves on the way to the bar on Friday night, like everybody that wears a Patagonia vest and walks down Wall Street thinks of themselves constantly throughout the day. But essentially, just like when a dog hears something like, oh, let's go for a walk, let's go outside, do you want a treat, and they start freaking out, that's the exact same feeling that Wall Street traders get when a Federal Reserve chairman says the word rate cuts. They start to get all hyped up, tail wagging, heavy panting kind of breath. But nonetheless, that is kind of what Jay Powell said yesterday, but it's not really as well. This was an absolute masterclass in Fed speak. So we go ahead and take a look at interest rate movements over the past year, 2 years or so. We can see that we are still towards the end of the fastest rate hiking cycle in history that we've ever seen. And so we've seen these interest rates go from, you know, that 0% bound up to about 5.2 to 5.5%. As they currently stand right now, upper limit is 5.5%. It was the fastest, steepest rate hike tightening cycle. There we go. I promised I'd figure it out. Rate hike tightening cycle that we've ever seen. Obviously, with some scary stuff going on. But basically, what's going on here is Jerome Powell has to go and testify to the House Financial Services Committee at least once a year, I believe it is. It might be twice a year. There might be one towards the end, kind of in the fall, winter time period. But he does come out and start the year by spitting some game to these guys. Really, it's an opportunity for them to absolutely just roast the shit out of the Fed chair and get their base fired up. For everybody that hates monetary policy and inflation, they can just basically point to Jay Powell and call him the boogeyman, say that it's all his fault. So it's a really fun day for him, as you can imagine. He went out there, and like I said, it was an absolute masterclass in Fed speak. So there wasn't really much that he said or much new information that we got really from it at all. If we go ahead and take a look at the second chart that we provided here, it's from the CME Group, and it's showing those market probabilities for interest rate levels in December of 2024. Really no change whatsoever yesterday. We saw a bit of an increase. There was kind of a trade-off, and we saw an increase in the probability of interest rates at the end of the year being in the range of about 4.5 to 5.25%, and we saw that decrease in the range of about 4% to 4.5%, basically meaning that markets are starting to think that it's more likely that interest rates are going to be in that 4.5 to 5.25% range than in the 4.0 to 4.5% range. So a little bit of a downtrend, but it's still nothing that really affected equity prices. Certainly didn't on the day yesterday, but if that does change going forward, then, you know, we'll certainly be on top of it. You guys know where to go to get all your answers. And tomorrow we're getting the jobs report anyway, so that's going to be the real determining factor of, you know, exactly how careful Jay Powell has to be going forward. He laid it out. The most clear-minded thing that he actually went out there and said was reducing policy. Basically, he said reducing policy restraint too soon or too much could require even further policy tightening to get inflation back to that 2% level. At the same time, reducing policy interest rates too late could unduly weaken economic activity and employment. So everybody knows that. It's nothing new whatsoever, but the fact that he is saying that kind of means that he doesn't have anything else to say. So this really was a masterclass in Fed speak. Even when the Fed chair isn't saying anything, they are saying something. And so what they're saying right now is, one, we don't know what the hell is going on. Two, we don't know what to do. Three, and we don't know when we're going to make any changes. But what this also does is not pigeonhole themselves into, you know, changing rates by a certain outcome. If he came out there and said, you know, once we see core PCE hit 2% on a monthly rate, then we're going to go out and cut rates, then everybody and their mother would just be dying, hanging on by the thread of a needle or whatever the fuck the saying is, for that PCE print coming at around that 2% level. Now, obviously, the Fed doesn't want to pigeonhole themselves. You know, the Federal Reserve, back in the day, their meetings used to not be like the Super Bowl, and we didn't hang on every single word that they said, like they were fucking Travis Kelce's girlfriend or something like that. So nowadays, now that the Fed has become so important ever since, you know, Ben Bernanke pumped the Jets back in the GFC era, now that the Fed has become this important, every word that they say, you know, you can start a hedge fund around the tone of voice that the Federal Reserve uses. So the fact that they're not saying anything does tell us a little bit of something. And so they don't want to pigeonhole themselves to one certain metric, giving themselves some flexibility. We'll see what happens there. Quite honestly, I don't think there's going to be any rate cuts until at least this summer. I don't think we can even get excited about it until at least that July meeting. We just saw Goldman come out and say there's no longer a chance of seeing those cuts in May. So they're pushing way back. I think it's probably going to be more like end of summer, late fall, if anything at all. But we'll definitely keep you updated. So make sure you stay tuned. All right, let's go into some of the big stock movers of the day. We saw a 10.8% jump from CrowdStrike. So CrowdStrike absolutely knocked it out of the park in their earnings. Very strong results in Q4. CEO is super fired up. He came out there, he was saying all kinds of nonsense that didn't even make any sense at all. He labeled the firm the innovator of choice, the consolidator of choice, the fucking everything of choice in the cybersecurity industry. Pretty sure he might have taken a little bit of ayahuasca or something before this call because he was just completely on another planet. But either way, they did have a solid quarter. They did still keep up their very ambitious guidance for about $10 billion in annual recurring revenue by the year 2030. So we'll see if they can actually get that. But hey, Wall Street was fired up at the idea of it yesterday. We did get some good news for Palantir as well, up about 9.9%. This is one of the most loved, most hated stocks on the entire earth right now, and especially on Wall Street or here in the United States. These guys, they jumped almost 10% for the day yesterday. It was one of their best days in quite a while because they won a contract from the Department of Defense. So Palantir is going to be receiving nearly $200 million, about $178 million from the U.S. Army and all of their, you know, contract. And this is the military-industrial complex in action right here, guys. This is your tax dollars going to waste right here because the way that they actually kind of structure these building projects, you know what, we don't have to get into it here right now. Maybe we'll talk about that later on in one of our episodes. But of course, Palantir winning this contract, it was huge for their shareholders. So the stock was up about 10%. This wasn't the first time they've won this kind of a deal as well. They won one back in 2022 to build just one prototype of the same prototypes that they're building right now. So this is kind of an extension of that. What they're building is called Titan. It stands for, you know what, I actually have no idea what it stands for. Terrestrial, something, something, I really don't know. But basically what it is kind of like a mobile home for the Department of Defense. It's like a, think of like a trailer park kind of a thing. You put some wheels on it, and it's basically like a silo where you sit in and probably drone strike villages and elementary schools in some far corner of the earth, like, you know, the United States have been doing since the Obama administration. But that is essentially what these things are. They are those, like, drone warehouses. You know when your friends joke about sitting in a warehouse in the middle of Utah and drone striking somebody at God knows where, Timbuktu, whatever the fuck? That's basically what these things are for. So shout out to Palantir for building that. I don't think I need to explain why they're some of the most loved and most hated companies on the entire planet. All right, let's go ahead and look at some of the most hated for the day yesterday, at least. We saw Foot Locker absolutely plummet 29.4%. You know how their employees all dress up as referees? Yeah, they were out here just throwing flags all over the day. Their portfolios are looking like absolute shit. I feel bad for these guys if they actually get stock options. Especially, I mean, if you get stock options or RSUs and you have to pay that tax, and it's plummeting 30% on the issuance, that is absolutely ridiculous. They could probably honestly sue for that, but we don't know if that happened. That's a pure speculation that we love here at the Daily Peel. But we did see them absolutely tank yesterday. Surprise loss in Q4. It was a terrible quarterly terrible holiday season for Foot Locker and for all of their employees. And if you've been to a Foot Locker recently, it's been terrible for their customers as well. It was also pretty terrible over at Nordstrom, which is weird because half of my wardrobe is Nordstrom, to be quite honest here with you. I don't think there's been a better innovation since the discovery of fire than Nordstrom Rack stores. And thank God for that, because Nordstrom is actually going to be opening up more of those locations coming into 2024. We're seeing Nordstrom, they came in, they beat on both sales and EPS for Q4. They also announced the openings of new Nordstrom Rack locations across the country. But the thing is, Nordstrom Rack, this is the discount portion of the business. So it's much lower margin, much higher revenue, obviously, that kind of goes without saying, with the word rack in it. But this went hand in hand with one of the reasons that Nordstrom sold off so much yesterday. They basically came out and said that they're actually expecting a sales decline. They're expecting sales for 2024 to grow anywhere between negative 2% and 1%. A large reason for that is because apparently this year has one less calendar week in the company's like fiscal year or something like that. I don't know how that's possible on a leap year, but that's essentially what they said. They have one less week, and that's going to be a result of about 1% of the change. But Wall Street obviously can't count. You know, these guys aren't too good at math. Obviously, everybody knows that. So they freaked out a little bit and absolutely dumped the stock. Now, this might even be Nordstrom right here, but it's definitely Patriots gear because, you know, just like M&A activity in 2024, the New England Patriots are going to be back. Okay, but let's get a little bit realistic for a second. So, like we said, Morgan Stanley calling for a 50% increase in M&A activity is very much like a cat calling for a 50% increase in catnip, or a crackhead calling for a 50% increase in free crack or something like that. That's what Morgan Stanley is calling for with the 50% increase in M&A activity. That would be nice, especially given the fact that we've reduced by more than half since 2021. So in 2021, we were seeing nearly $6 trillion worth of M&A activity across the globe, and that's encompassing everything of PE to SPACs to venture capital, strategic investments, everything else like that. Now we are just about below the $3 trillion mark for 2023, and Morgan Stanley is expecting that to be at around $4.5 trillion for 2024, roughly a 50% increase. Now that's phenomenal news, not only for you guys who have been, begging for sell-side analyst jobs since you could say the word sell-side, but it's great news for pretty much everybody else that's looking for liquidity. Now, essentially, when these exits in mergers and acquisitions, in IPOs, and in kind of other, when you give other people the option to invest, you're giving people that exit opportunity. That's going to increase liquidity, which of course will allow people to sell their shares, kind of get that savings boost, get that additional cash, maybe go out and contribute to the economy, do your American duty, and go out and spend money like nobody's business. But it's just an all-around great sign for overall financial markets, and it is also a sign that companies are starting to get used to this higher for longer rate environment. They're starting to realize, like, all right, you know what? These rates aren't going down too much for way too long. We're probably not even going to see any cuts till the end, till the latter half of this year. So nothing really to get too excited about it. They might is basically what these companies were thinking is, if interest rates are going to stay high for this much longer, and we're actually not going to see too much of a return to what we've kind of gotten used to over the past decade in the ZIRP era, or a decline, even just a little bit of a decline from the 5.2 to 5.50% level. If we're not going to see that, they don't want to continue to put off all of their activity into the future to some to-be-determined date. So they're just kind of biting the bullet and saying, like, let's go for it right now. At least that is what Morgan Stanley is calling for. Now, this investment bank does rely on M&A activity to meet their bottom line, so take that with a giant grain of salt. All right, now we just have to ask, how right slash wrong is Morgan Stanley going to be? Because this is clearly bullish for their own business. Seems a little bit biased. We don't trust it too much. So let us know how right or wrong they're going to be, especially those of you who work on the sell side. Let us know what you're seeing, what your team is seeing in terms of deal flow. What sectors are going to be the largest beneficiaries? What else do? What are you guys thinking about M&A? Do you have any big M&A targets that you want to see? Personally, I've been waiting for somebody to buy Peloton, somebody to buy Robinhood, some of these piece of shit companies that ran up to the moon back in 2021. Now that there are 95% discounts, actually Robinhood probably isn't discounted that much, but now that they've been absolutely eviscerated, this is a great time for somebody to go ahead and start buying. But either way, we had to get a quote for the day because M&A activity is going to spike so much. We had to get a quote from one of the greatest investment bankers of all time, Mr. Jonathan Sidwell from the TV show Suits. If nobody has seen it right now, go out there and get your Netflix subscription, get Suits, start watching it right now, because, it's the most unrealistic thing I've ever seen in my entire life, but it damn sure is entertaining. And we have Jonathan Sidwell saying, we're not lawyers, we're investment bankers, we'll call you for the paperwork. He does continue that quote, and it's one of the most douchebaggy things of all time that even I couldn't include it on the Daily Peeler because it was just that douchebaggy. But I strongly recommend going and watching that clip, especially if you want to go into banking. It's going to get you nice and fired up here on this Thursday morning. All right, well, thanks for everybody for joining us here today. Make sure to leave us a rating, give us a like, give us a subscribe, tell us how much you love it, how much you hate it, what we can do better, anything else like that. We're here for you guys, and we want to, make this as fun as possible. So let us know exactly what's going on, what we can be doing, and stay tuned for tomorrow. Happy investing, happy trading. Thanks for joining us, guys.
And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, Patrick at wallstreetoasis.com. Until next time.